Sangye chutam suki chonam va Sangchu vardi dagni kyan suci Dagi jim sogi vizonam vi Yohapin chir sangye lupar cho I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddhas, the Dharma, and the assembly of saints, and the virtuous merits that I collect, the practice of giving and the other perfections. I attain the state of the Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the assembly of saints, and the virtuous merits that I collect, the practice of giving and the other perfections.
May I attain the state of the Buddha to benefit all sentient beings.
May all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all beings never be separated from the bliss which is sorrowless. May all dwell in equanimity, free from aversion and pain. The ground is covered with flowers and sprinkled with scented water. In the middle is Mount Meru. Surrounded by the four continents and ornamented by the sun and the moon. By visualizing all this and offering it as a Buddha realm, may all sentient beings partake of the Buddha's pure lands. Om Guru Buddha Bodhisattva Sapariwara Ratna Mandala Buddha Mega Samud Samana Samaye. Welcome to the 10th session of Parting from the Four Attachments, a teaching from Manjushri, the Buddha of Wisdom, to Sachin Kunga Ningpo 1,000 years ago. We have worked our way through to the third line. First line being, if you have attachment to this life, you're not a Dharma practitioner. Second line being, if you have attachment to samsara, you don't have renunciation. And the third line being, if you have attachment to your own purpose, you do not have the enlightenment thought. Each of these lines has meditations that go with it. So we started last week on the third line, and I made a little chart here, how to grow a Buddha. And these are the first two lines, and then last week we started on the third line in the meditation on loving kindness, and the steps that you do to do the loving kindness meditation, starting with your mother and visualizing her, remembering her kindness, wishing to repay her kindness, wishing that she have happiness and the causes of happiness, and realizing that we don't have the power to do that, only a Buddha can really do that. So we are working our way up towards the thought of enlightenment in order to become enlightened, become a Buddha in order to help sentient beings. So we start meditating on our mother. And then we repeat the meditation on for our father. And then we repeat it again for our family, our relatives. And then we repeat it again for the people that we know, the people we work with, the people we associate with. Then we repeat it again for people we don't know, people that normally we would be indifferent towards. And then we repeat it again for our enemies and the people that create obstacles for us. And then finally we repeat it for all sentient beings. So step by step we grow our loving kindness, starting with our mother and going out to everybody. And last week we actually did the meditation for our mother. If you don't have a mother, or you don't get along with your mother, or for some reason that doesn't work for you, you can choose somebody else, somebody maybe who fulfilled that role for you. In any case, somebody who was really, really kind to you. Maybe the kindest person you can think of in your life. Somebody was kind to you because we all grew up, got socialized, learned the language, and became adults. So you had somebody in your life somehow that was kind to you. So if you don't want to take your mother as the object, you take the kindest person you can think of. But traditionally, we start with our mother. So we did that last week. We did that in meditation. I'd like to start this evening the same meditation for our father. Same thing applies if you didn't have a father or you didn't get along with your father. Think of somebody who perhaps filled that role for you. So if you'd like to find a comfortable position, we'll make it kind of brief, but I'd like to do the meditation again. So find a posture that works for you, that's comfortable, where your spine is elongated. Take a moment to just let your mind relax. And if you can, visualize your father. Remember your father and bring to mind the kindness that your father showed to you. Maybe he put food on the table. Maybe he put shoes on your feet. Maybe he drove you to school or soccer practice. Whatever role your father played in your development as a person. And just remember that kindness. How kind your father was to you. Generate the wish to repay that kindness. The wish that your father would have happiness and the causes of happiness. And then realize that we really are not in a position to do that. Whether your father is living or not anymore doesn't really matter. But a Buddha is in a position to help bring happiness and the causes of happiness by showing the way, by teaching the Dharma. So begin to develop the resolve to provide that happiness to your father by attaining enlightenment. Okay. So that's the format for doing the meditation for the different categories of sentient beings. So now we're going to move on to the next topic, which is compassion. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines compassion as sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with the desire to alleviate it. The Cambridge Dictionary says it's a strong feeling of sympathy and sadness for the suffering or bad luck of others and the wish to help them. So I think in Mahayana Buddhism there's an emphasis on the wish to help part. If you just feel empathetic for somebody, that's part of it. But really, we want to develop the motivation to actually do something about it. And that's where the term great compassion comes in. Great compassion refers to having this compassion that was just defined for all sentient beings. So that's why it's called great, because it isn't just for your family or your friends, it's for all beings, and not only human beings, but animals and insects and spirits and all the different realms that we've gone through, for all sentient beings. So that's what the term great compassion means. We're going to hear that later tonight. So His Holiness Sakya Trichin said, there are three main practices: love, compassion, and enlightenment mind, or enlightenment thought. It's also called bodhicitta. Those are all synonyms. Love means that you wish every sentient being in all six realms of existence to be happy. And compassion is the wish that all beings in suffering should part from suffering. The enlightenment mind means, generally speaking, the wish to attain enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. These three are very important. Without love and compassion, the enlightenment mind will not arise. And without the enlightenment mind, you cannot attain enlightenment. So therefore, love and compassion are necessary. But of these, compassion is of particular importance. It is said to be the seed of the great way. The great way is another way of saying great vehicle. It's said to be the seed of the great way in the beginning. In the middle, it is the water that makes the crops grow. And finally, it is the ripening of the fruit. So clearly, with compassion being in the beginning, the middle, and the end, it is very important. Thus, when Chandrakirti wrote, Chandrakirti was a 7th century philosopher, great saint philosopher. When he wrote the Madhyamaka Avatara, he preceded it with an homage to compassion. The Buddha, he said, arises from the Bodhisattva, and the Bodhisattva is born out of love and compassion, but especially out of compassion. So therefore, Sakya Trichin says, the main cause of enlightenment is compassion. If we were going to summarize the Mahayana path in one word, that would be the word compassion. Kempo Kelsang Gyaltso said, loving kindness is defined as the wish that all beings be happy and have the causes of happiness. Compassion is defined as the wish that all beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. It's very important to know the details of the different kinds of loving kindness and the distinction between loving kindness and compassion. With a clear understanding of the distinctions, we can undertake the meditations. His Holiness the 41st Sakya Trichin was asked, is compassion for all living beings just a matter of feeling sorry for them? And he said, no, compassion is a thought, the wish for beings to be free from suffering. The practice of compassion clearly involves an understanding of the causes of suffering. First, study is required, and then meditation. Visualize those dear to you and wish them to be happy and be free from suffering. Then pray that you may have the power to accomplish this for them, that you will be able to do this. Then meditate on those who are not near to you, and finally on all sentient beings. Start by visualizing your mother and thinking very clearly on the most elaborate details of her kindness to you and the care that she had for you. Then realize that she is still suffering and creating the causes of suffering. At this, the wish to help her will arise. And when you want to help her out of suffering, the enlightenment mind will arise. Compassion is of the greatest importance and should be practiced as much as possible. It should be completely instinctive. Avalokiteshvara, the Lord of Compassion, said in a sutra, "One who wishes to gain enlightenment should not practice many things, but just one. And that one is compassion." And His Holiness continues saying, "The practice of compassion is of three kinds. Compassion to beings is the wish that first your mother and then all other limitless sentient beings should be free from suffering, and the wish that you may be able to help them. Compassion to conditioned phenomena is the wish that sentient beings should abandon the root of suffering, for the root of suffering is ignorance. The third practice is called objectless compassion. Really, all sentient beings are very much tied to the ego, and this causes them suffering." His Eminence Abhikrita Rinpoche said, "In the Dharmasangita Sutra, it is said that if a bodhisattva understands and holds to one thing, then they have all the qualities of the Buddha in the palm of their hand. And that one thing is great compassion." In the Mahayana Sutralankara, Maitreya explains that the moisture of compassion is loving kindness, and the spring that it comes from is suffering. This is because we can't even talk about transcending suffering if we don't first understand suffering. So we've spent a lot of time looking at samsara and the nature of samsara, and what we've seen so far is that sentient beings really lack happiness, true happiness. But not only that, sentient beings are creating the causes of more suffering in the future out of ignorance. Nörtchen Khunga Zangpo said, "If you train well by meditating on loving kindness, then through the power of that practice, compassion will arise. To meditate upon compassion, understand the nature of compassion that is explained by Chandrakirti, who said, 'Completely saving living beings who are endowed with suffering is great compassion.' As he said, when you see an object of suffering, the desire for that living being to be free from unbearable suffering is produced in your mind. To meditate on compassion, direct your meditation towards your relatives, those to whom you are indifferent, your enemies, and then all sentient beings. Initially, when meditating upon your mother, first recognize who she is and remember her kindness, just as you did at the time of meditating on loving kindness. Then meditate on compassion for her in the following manner. First, visualize your present mother, whether living or dead, clearly in front of you, and think, Since my very kind mother experiences suffering and is separated from happiness, I must have compassion for her. Though she desires to be free from suffering and the causes of suffering, I see her present condition to be endowed with suffering and its causes. And since she is partaking of more suffering, I must have compassion for her. Therefore, I must make my mother free from this kind of suffering and its cause. So, meditate on compassion that's linked with the enlightenment thought for her. And then, as at the time of meditating on loving kindness, meditate upon compassion linked with intention and aspiration. Then transfer this compassion meditation to relatives, etc., and then to those to whom you are indifferent, then to your enemies, and then to all sentient beings, one after another. In this way, you should continue to meditate until a real, non-artificial mind of compassion arises. Gorampa Sonam Senge said, to meditate on compassion, recall whatever kindness your present mother has shown, and the need for this kind mother to be parted from suffering also. Since she is now endowed with the nature of suffering, have compassion for her by thinking, wouldn't it be proper if she were parted from suffering? I must place her in a state separated from suffering. And then in the same way, recall that all living beings have previously given you similar kindness, and then meditate on the compassion which desires that they be separated from suffering. If you do not produce these two, loving kindness and compassion, in your mind, then the enlightenment thought will not really arise. And since these two are the root of all Mahayana teachings, it's very important to exert yourself in practicing them. His Eminence Chogye Trichen Rinpoche said, when we wish our mother to be well and happy, we naturally wish that the happiness we are able to provide her should not be subject to impermanence, to the suffering of change. This wish leads us to develop compassion. Our mother's suffering, or even potential suffering, becomes our own. Put yourself in her place, feeling her troubles and whatever hardships she has to endure. And through this, you develop such sensitivity and empathy that you become able to feel her pain as your own. This kind of feeling will cause you to make every deliberate attempt to reduce the suffering of your mother and to prevent any likelihood of this suffering returning. This is the practice of compassion. Through contemplation and training in the wish for our mother to be well and happy and to be free from suffering and the causes of suffering, we cultivate the twin practices of loving kindness and compassion. The result and culmination of these two practices can then become the altruistic motivation of bodhicitta, the thought of enlightenment. An altruistic motivation arises through wishing that others have happiness and the causes of happiness, and that they be free from suffering and its causes. The union of these two qualities of love and compassion, which comes about through the force and power of these two wishes, is what is meant by the altruistic motivation. Once a heartfelt altruism is generated in ourselves as a result of these contemplations, this creates an amazing sense of affection and closeness towards our mother. And once we have given rise to this feeling, we are able to extend it to others. Gradually, as our meditation continues to progress, we will be able to expand the feeling of love, gratitude, and compassion until it comes to embrace all living beings. This expansion of our love and compassion is possible because in the past, since time without beginning, every being has in fact been our own kind mother. His Holiness Sakya Trichen said, "The reason we practice loving kindness before practicing compassion is that in order for compassion towards sentient beings to arise, we must first see them as lovable. For example, by seeing them as our mothers. If we cannot first see them as lovable, compassion will not arise. When we become able to see all of them as our mothers or dear ones, then we become able to wish them to be happy and to have the cause of happiness. And after generating this wish, if we then examine the nature of samsara, we see that sentient beings actually lack happiness. The majority of beings are experiencing great suffering, and out of ignorance, they are also creating the causes of even more future suffering. And when we can see that all mother sentient beings suffer, then compassion arises. Thus, loving kindness serves as the path to compassion, and compassion arises based on suffering. And one may wonder, well, what is compassion? This is still His Holiness Sakya Trichen talking. One may wonder, what is compassion? Chandrakirti stated, completely saving living beings who are endowed with suffering is great compassion. And as Chandrakirti explained, having seen unbearable suffering, the mind that wishes beings to be freed from it is called compassion. Compassion is developed by practicing step by step. The steps to practicing compassion are similar to the four stages in the practicing of loving kindness. The first stage is to meditate on compassion for one's mother, then relatives, then for those towards whom one is indifferent, then for enemies, and finally for all sentient beings. In practicing compassion towards one's relatives, start as before by recollecting one's mother and remembering her kindness. Visualize one's mother, whether she is alive or deceased, in front of oneself and think, because my very kind mother is suffering and without happiness, I must have compassion for her. Although she desires to be free from suffering and the causes of suffering, one can see that her present condition is suffering and is creating the causes of future suffering. And then think, I must free my mother from such suffering and its causes. After meditating on this, link that thought with the enlightenment mind, then with the intention, and finally with the prayer to the Guru and the Triple Gem, that one's mother may be free from suffering and its causes. One may focus on whichever of these three methods is most effective for one's own mind. After performing this meditation on compassion for one's mother, again expand the focus to include your father, other relatives, friends, neighbors, and then beings towards whom one is indifferent, enemies, and finally all sentient beings. Practice in this way until a genuine inner feeling of compassion arises. Not artificial compassion, but natural compassion for all sentient beings without exception. The cultivation of compassion by this method will in turn help the enlightenment mind to arise. That was His Holiness Sakya Trichen said that. In a summary, when we can see that all mother sentient beings suffer, then compassion arises. The steps to practicing compassion are similar to the stages in the practice of loving kindness. The first stage is to meditate on compassion for one's mother, then father, then relatives, then for those beings to whom one is indifferent, and then enemies, and finally for all sentient beings. The cultivation of compassion by this method will in turn help the enlightenment mind to arise. Questions?
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
So, if you wish for people to be separated from their suffering, doesn't that immediately imply that you're wishing them to be happy? Like, why do we have a separation from wishing people to be happy and wishing people to be separate from their suffering? What? Like, what? Doesn't it seem that it's the same thing?
Well, the way I look at it is they're two sides of the same coin. They're always spoken about together because they go together. It's really pretty easy to see that people want to be happy because I want to be happy. And then if you say, well, why am I not happy, or why are they not happy? It's because they're suffering. Well, why are they suffering? You know, and how can we stop it? There's this progression. But you're right, they're like this, they're close. One is just, I want them to be happy, and the other is, not only do I want them not to suffer, but I'm going to actually do something about it, to take it away.
So what I think I hear you say is, like, the happiness, wishing someone to be happy, is you understanding happiness as an emotion, like linking it emotionally, and then the compassion is more of a, like, mental aspect to that emotion. It's like, how can I do that? And psychologically, like, thinking about that. So that's what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. You have to remember, when we talk about happiness in Buddhism, we're not talking about worldly happiness. We went through the first two lines of Parting from Attachment talking about how we're fooled. Remember the eight poisons? Happiness is one of those eight poisons. We're fooled by a kind of false happiness, samsaric happiness, that we think is happiness because that's all we know. You know, the ice cream cone tastes good, makes me happy. The second one is not so good. The third one makes me sick, suffering of change. So when we talk about happiness here, it's that kind of permanent happiness of enlightenment that we're talking about, not temporary samsaric happiness, which is really not happiness.
I see. So you're like wishing them an emotional, deep happiness, not the one they're experiencing usually, and then realizing that they need to be separated from suffering in order to have that basic, like, deep joy.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I would use the word emotional. We're talking about bliss, the bliss of enlightenment, really, is what we're talking about, which is permanent, non-attachment. It's actually beyond description. It's certainly nothing that we have right now.
So basically, what I'm hearing you say is, like, when I'm happy, that's not really happiness.
It's in that context. Remember when we talked about the three kinds of suffering?
Right.
The second one, suffering of change. So the happiness that we have here in samsara is that kind of happiness. It's, yes, the first ice cream cone tastes good, happiness. It's not permanent, it's not bliss, it's not beyond description. It's just it's as close as we get. And that's what we think happiness is, but we're deluded by it. We're fooled by it. It's one of the eight poisons. We're distracted by it. So I'm not sure that an emotion really is the right word for it.
Mm. I guess it's hard to know that you want to be enlightened if you've never felt that type of joy.
Yeah.
Then what am I aiming for?
Yeah.
But I think that, like, I've had meditations, or with sessions in my past where it was so good that I didn't want to leave. Like, I didn't want to get out of it. And I imagine, like, I wonder if that's a type of happiness that one would, that is not necessary, because I was just sitting there. Like, I wasn't doing anything or wanting anything. Anyways, I don't know.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't know. I can't say what kind of happiness you had, but it didn't last forever.
I'm sure this is tangible, right?
Like, tangible?
So not tangible right now. Anyways, it's okay.
Tangible. I don't know.
It's knowable.
Knowable. As it said, this is a gradual process. The development of loving kindness and compassion, these don't happen usually instantly. It's step by step, you know, path. That's why they call it a path. You can go faster or slower, but still, in some ways, it's counterintuitive to think that I'm going to worry about everybody else, you know. We don't normally do that. So it takes some personal spiritual growth to get there, to get that kind of mind, to be that big. That's what, you know, perfect, they call it perfect complete enlightenment. It's much bigger. It's way bigger than we can imagine, really. And that's why we start with just recognizing the reality that, yeah, it's suffering here. Yeah, there's some good stuff. Flowers and babies' smiles and ice cream cones, but it's not permanent. And there is something else, which is permanent bliss. Not only that, but at that point we're in a position to help other people have it, other beings have it. So it isn't just, I'm okay, sorry about you, but I'm okay and I'm going to help you just like the Buddha helped me. That's the concept of it. That's the idea of it. That's why it's called great compassion. It's great because it's big. The objects are infinite. It takes a certain propensity to even want to study this, let alone practice it. And you can see that most people don't have that propensity. You can just see that, you know. So that's why we go back to this idea of precious human rebirth. We have this opportunity now, which is rare, hard to find. And we have this chance now to take advantage and really do something that not most sentient beings don't have, at least not yet anyway. They have the potential for it. But most people are busy, caught up in material, worldly existence. You can see that if you just look around. And we are too, to a degree. That's why we have this teaching of parting from the four attachments, to disconnect from all these ignorant ways of thinking and being that are keeping us tied into suffering. Any other questions about compassion? Now we'll do the meditation on compassion. So I'll talk you through it like I did before. And this time we'll focus on our mother first. So find a nice posture that you like. Take a moment to just let your mind settle. And begin by visualizing your mother, or whoever played that role for you, whether alive or deceased. Visualize your mother in front of you and remember her kindness. From conception, she was your focus. She carried you for 9 months. Took care of her own health so that you would benefit and grow. Gave you your precious human rebirth. Took care of you. Cleaned you, fed you. Kissed you and hugged you. And thought about you day and night. Taught you how to speak. Taught you how to behave. And loved you. And think about her current condition, where she has suffering and is also creating the causes of suffering for future suffering. And out of that, let compassion arise for her. Although she desires to be free from suffering and the causes, right now she has suffering and the causes. And then think, I must free my mother from such suffering and the causes. But right now I don't have that power. Who can free her? Only a Buddha can free her by showing the way to become free. And so I must attain enlightenment in order to be able to have that power and to help my mother be free from suffering and its causes. And so I will practice the path. So nam de tam je zi kam tom ne ne pai da nam pam je te ke ga na ji va nam tu pe si pe so le do a do or sho chang chu sen chang rin Poche ma ke banam ke gyurche ke manyam parme paryam gong ne gong tu pel parsho champao pao ji tar ken batang kundu song po de yang de jinte de da gungi je su da lo che ge wa di da tam che ra tu mu du su je bi gya wa tam che ki no wa gang ma cho tu nga pa gi Da jen ge we tsa wa di kun kyang Sang po cho chi ra tu no war ki Chak sa wa dang cho ching shak pa dang Di su yi rang gu jing so wa yi Ge wa chung ze da gi chi sak pa Tam che zok pe chang chu chi By this merit, may all attain omniscience, may it defeat the enemy wrongdoing. From the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death, from the ocean of samsara, may all beings be free. Bodhicitta is precious. May it arise in all beings in whom it has not arisen. May it never decline where it has arisen, but may it ever grow and flourish. In whatever way, valiant Manjushri and Samantabhadra know how to transfer merit. So do I dedicate all my own virtues, that I might train to be like them. Through this dedication, praise the Supreme, by the victorious Buddhas of the past, present, and future, I, together with all sentient beings, dedicate these roots of virtue to attaining Buddhahood. May whatever little virtue I may have gained from prostrating, offering, confessing, rejoicing, requesting, and beseeching, be dedicated to attaining.
Thank you.